God used. God picked him out of literally nowhere, at the Ur of the Chaldees. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. Few men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself have had such an impact on the history of the world as the man that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. The man is revered by over half of the world's population, Judaism, Islam, Christianity. God chose Abram, changed his name later on to Abraham, and out of Abraham, out of his lineage, came the Lord Jesus Christ. God had a plan way back in the book of Genesis to send Jesus to pay the price on the cross for our sins. Genesis chapters 1 through 11 deal with the first couple thousand years of human history. You have the creation, you have sin, and you have the languages that were changed, the flood, of course. But then you pick up in Genesis chapter 12 on through, and it talks about Abram and his family. And out of Abraham, the entire world has been blessed. What we're going to read today is, and I simply entitled this, God Renews His Promise to Abram. Why did he have to renew it? Because Abram had failed God. But God reminds Abram that even though his failures are real, and there are circumstances that happen, and then there are results, there are continuations of our failure. Failure is not final. I don't know about you, but I have failed God on multiple occasions, and I'm glad that He renews His promise and He restores the saint. Abram is a man that is walking with God now. We'll call it his misadventure in Egypt. He failed the test of God, yet God brought him back and restored him. It's behind him, and now he's at a place where he's walking by faith. In the previous verses, we see that there's a problem, there's a strife that it comes between Lot, his nephew, and Abram. Abram does something that very few people would do. He allowed Lot, the younger, to choose the very best. He said, "You choose whichever one, and whichever one you choose, you can have, and I'll take the other." You say, how can he do that? Because he trusted God. Because he knew that God was going to take care of him. And we'll see that here in just a moment. By the way, whenever you get to the place that you're willing to sacrifice your rights, your needs, your desires for somebody else, it demonstrates that you're right where God wants you to be at. After the incident with Lot, Abram's left alone with his wife, his servants, and his possessions. Must have been rather difficult to see his own flesh and blood separate from him under such harsh conditions. Yet Abram, in that difficult time, would see God turn it into a time of grace and blessing. You know, sometimes the most difficult times in our lives in the valleys are where God really demonstrates His greatness to us. We all say, man, I don't like walking in the valley. Yeah, but in the valley, we see God work and move in times that we would have missed if we weren't there. This is the time, no doubt, that Abram's heart is a little heavy. No doubt Abram's concerned because he knows where Lot is going. He knows where Lot is headed. One of the most difficult things for you and I to do is to allow someone or to watch someone enter into a place that we know it's not going to be good for them. Lot chose the well-watered plain, and the Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And later on, we're going to see the results of pitching his tent there. And Lot, no doubt, didn't really care. But Abram did. He doesn't really say it in the passage, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe Abram had a heavy heart right now. One of the hardest things to do is to see your child or your grandchild or your loved one involved in sin. The wages of sin is death, and how it destroys life. And Abram is simply trusting God. It says in verse number 14, as he's trusting God, as he's quiet, God speaks to him. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he says, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. He says, Abram, I want you to look around. First of all, he told him, he said, look up. You know what Abram was probably doing, looking down. You know, usually whenever we're in a tough place, whenever our hearts are heavy, we're looking down, aren't we? We're just kind of looking down and sad, heartbroken. We don't really want to make eye contact with anybody else because we have to tell them our story. Maybe we're ashamed or embarrassed. God says, look up. He said, Abram, I want you to look up. I want you to look around. In verse 15, he says, for all, and if you circle things in your Bible, circle the word all. He says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, notice, forever. Forever. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed, the word seed there is talking about those children and those grandchildren and those great-grandchildren, the family that'll come out of his life. He says, and I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. First of all, I want you to see with me today, God renews his promise to Abram. You know what this is? This, first of all, we see in this passage as a confirmation of God's word. You have your notes, the word confirmation. That's it. Number one, Amber, if you will. When you look at the events of verses 7 through 11, you may believe that Abram got the short end of the stick. If you were to compare verse 10, in fact, let's do it. Look back with me to verse number 10. Verse number 10 of chapter 13, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. And then you see in verse number 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes. Both of these men lifted up their eyes. They saw two vastly different things. Lot saw the world. Abram saw the promised land. Lot looked in self-sufficiency. That land will take care of me. That land, that place will meet all of my needs. But Abram looked and said, I'm going to trust God there. Lot looked with a heart driven by greed and lust. Abram looked with a heart driven by sacrificial love and unity. Lot looked through the eyes connected to a worldly, uncommitted heart. Abram looked through the eyes that were connected to a committed spiritual trust in Almighty God. Lot may have taken the best of the land, but Abram was about to get all of the land. See, Abram knew that it really didn't matter which land Lot chose because it all belonged to him because God had told him so. Friend, those who walk with their faith in God and their heart centered in His will never fear, need never fear that they will lose anything. Next slide, Amber, I think. God honors the faith of His people because the faith of His people honors Him. We see here a confirmation of the Word of God. A confirmation of the promise. What does this promise communicate? Well, it communicates a promised land, Lot chose the best, but Abram got that and more. You know, you and I are promised the land. We sang about it this morning. We're promised the land. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, gentlemen, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for, you know what he's saying? You have a promised land. You have a promised home. He said, if I go and prepare a place, he says, I'll come again. He says, and I'll receive you unto myself because of this, that where I am, I want you to be also. So he has a promised land. But then, if you look in verse number 16, he has a promised legacy. He says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Well, it's got to be a little difficult for Abram to believe this promise. Abram is probably in his 80s by this point. I guess maybe a man could father a child in his 80s. But Sarai was also pretty close to 80. Biologically speaking, that would be impossible. Impossible. I'm sure that no doubt that whenever Abram signed his name on a check, I don't know if they had checks, but Abram. You know what the word Abram means? Exalted father. I've got an idea that there were some that mocked him behind his back. His name means exalted father. He didn't even have a kid. He's told us that God's going to bless him. God's going to give him seed, give him children beyond number. Sometimes we don't always see the promises of God happen at the moment that we want them to happen. By the way, that promise has literally come to pass. God has kept His word. For out of the lineage, out of the family of Abraham, came the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person that trusts Jesus as their Savior is added to the family of God, and the Bible says is as the dust of the earth. Billions have come to know Jesus as their Savior. I also see in the verse a promise length. He says forever. Forever. Notice when the promise came. Back at verse number 14. It says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. God's promise came after he was separated from Lot. See, Lot represented worldliness and a lack of faith and a lack of commitment to the things of God. And as soon as that was out of Abram's life, God began to bless him. I wonder if maybe God wants His people to remove those distractions and those things that do not honor Him from our life. I don't really have to wonder. The Bible tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? I want to tell you, there are some things that I see that I wish I could help change. One of the biggest things is this. When a Christian begins to date or fall in love with a non-Christian, an unbeliever. A marriage that has a believer and an unbeliever will never be a good marriage. Your goals are different. Your worship is different. Everything is different. There will be conflict and heartache and heartbreak. If you're in one of those relationships, stay. Honor God. But if you're not, young people, don't date anyone that's not a Christian. Period. Don't date anyone that's not the kind of Christian that you are. They say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Don't date them. Make it a requirement that if they want to date you, they must come to church. That's it. You say, that don't work. Oh, hold on. I beg to differ. I wanted to date Tina. Her dad told me, no. And then he added this. I don't even like you. Well, thank you for that self-esteem pep speech. And he turned to walk away. And I thought, and then he turned back around. He said, but you can come to church. And you can sit beside her on the row in front of me. Not beside me, in front of me. He just wanted to watch me. He had heard about me. I went to church. Well, I don't know how many weeks it was. 4 or 5 weeks, probably. Maybe a little bit longer. And because my future father-in-law was sitting behind me, every once in a while, he'd reach up and he'd just take his hand and he'd just kind of slide me over a little. Like, don't touch her. After 4 or 5 or 6 weeks of that, maybe even 8, I don't know, the Holy Spirit began to work in my heart. It was no longer just about sitting beside Tina. I began to hear about the blood. I began to hear about forgiveness. I began to hear about, I'm a sinner. And I finally gave in and trusted Jesus, my Savior. Tina's dad was not going to let her date an unsaved young man. He had his reservations after I got saved. Be not unequally yoked. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, young people, you want to add heartache to your life, date somebody that's not saved. Because it doesn't always work out for good. God can and He will bless a separated life. Maybe there's some things in our life that God's wanting us to separate from. Maybe some people. We see the confirmation of God's Word, and then secondly, we see the command of God's worker. The command of God's worker. Verse number 17, the Word of God says, arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I give it unto thee. After the promise has been given, a call to obedience is issued. You know, that's normally how it works. God's promises are coupled with God's call to obedience a lot of times. Here's a thought today. If we want His best, we should be willing to follow Him. If we want His best, we should be willing to follow Him. First of all, I'll say a command, rise. Abram is called to get up and to go with God. He's being challenged to deepen his walk with God. You say, what does God want from me? What does God want to do in my life? Well, the book of Micah, an Old Testament book, an Old Testament prophet wrote, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He says, I just simply want you to walk with me. Just walk with God. But sadly, many today do not have any concept of the times in which we live. The Bible says in Romans, says it's high time. Now is the time to wake out of a sleep where, for now is our salvation nearer than we thought. See a command to rise. And then also we see, he says, arise and walk through the land. He says, Abram, I want you to remember and to review what I've told you. I could have put a command to reflect. You know, every once in a while, we just kind of need to get along and reflect on what God's promised us. Every once in a while, we just need to get along and reflect on what God has done and is doing in our lives. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He told me, he said, Abram, I've promised you all of this. Now I want you to get up and I want you to walk through it. That's what he tells us in our home lives. He said, I've promised you. I promise you I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now I want you to get up and live through it. The promises of God are there whether I believe them or not. But it makes a huge difference whenever I believe them and obey. We have much in Jesus. We must claim it by faith. Every year at the fairs, we set up a booth, tent. However we do that, we give out gospel tracts. We give the invitation for people to stop and allow us to take the Bible and show them how to go to heaven. Many people will claim, well, I know Jesus. Yeah, they know Him here. And they've never received Him here. They know all about Him here. But they've never allowed Him to come in their heart and their life and to save them and change them. They've never received the promises of God. I see Christians like that. I'm a Christian like that sometimes. I have all these promises of God. And sometimes I sit and I sulk. Or I sit and I don't really obey. Or I sit and I have a lack of faith. It's not really about my great faith. It's simply my faith in a great God. It didn't take much. I just simply have to step out and live. You know, there are days whenever it's tough to believe the promises of God. How many of you raise your hand and say, "That's I agree with that." Amen. There are days. The devil brings them, or the flesh brings them, or God simply allows them. Maybe a famine like happened to Abram. Something happens in our life, we just don't know. But can I tell you this? Those promises are still there. Those promises are just as real as the day He first gave them to you. You know, sometimes I say, I don't have victory in God. Well, the Bible says you do. Yes, but I just don't feel like that. That's okay. Because God is still there. God's promises are still true. God's promises are still working in your life. But oh, they're much better whenever you believe them. They're much better when you allow God to work in your life. I see a confirmation of God's word. I see a command or a call to God's worker. But then Abram, he begins to consecrate or set himself aside for God's will. Verse number 18. God gave him the command. He says in verse number 17, he says, arise and walk. Verse number 18. I love the word, the one word here. Then Abram removed his tent. You know what he did? He obeyed. Obeyed. Just simply said, okay, God, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know why I'm going there. But okay, God, I'm going to pick up my tent and I'm going to go until you tell me to stop. That's how Abram's whole life was. That's how our lives are. Simply, okay, God, I obey you. God doesn't always say, hey, when you get there. No, God just simply says, begin to follow. Follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. When the Lord spoke, Abram responded in action obedience. As this old man traveled around the country, he was looking at the mountains and the valleys and the lakes and the ponds and the animals. But you know what? He was looking for something more than that. The book of Hebrews says, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Those were future heirs. And the reason why he did all that is because he looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker is God. As Abram traveled and he looked, he wasn't looking at the land. He was watching God. He just kept going and moving around and enjoying all that God had for him. Like Abram, we're pilgrims in this old world. And we're simply to follow God. He went to Mamre. Mamre means fatness. I'm living in Mamre. Fatness. It means more than just fat. But it carries with the spiritual idea of feasting. So he went to Mamre where he could feast on the things of God. In Hebron, which means fellowship, you know what God wants us to do? To fellowship with Him and feast on what He has for us. God wants what is said about Enoch to be true about all of us. The Bible says he walked with God. Abram was a friend of God. And then something happened. Abraham adapted to what God wanted him to do. He associated with God. And out of his heart came a worship and an adoration for God. Notice his trademark here. Verse number 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And notice this last phrase, and built there an altar unto the Lord. A life that is lived in communion with God, God will bless. How's your worship today? Where are you at in your relationship and your walk with God today? You say, preacher, I'm just kind of stuck. I'm kind of in a place where it's even hard for me to see the promises of God. Well, let me ask you, are you saved? Because if you're saved, here's what you can do. You can first of all rejoice in what was sang about today. The blood of Jesus has covered all your sins. You say, I don't have much to praise God about. If you're saved, you can thank Him for that. Start there today. Start and simply say, God, I don't know about all these other promises, but I know that the day that I trusted you as my Savior, you have saved me, and I don't always feel like it, but you literally are changing my life, and I want to thank you for that. And I promise you, out of that will begin to flow other thanksgivings and praises. And God will begin to strengthen your faith. Maybe there's a Christian here. God is moving you in your life. And you say, I don't know what God is doing in my life. That's okay. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Maybe you're a Christian that you've kind of gotten to a place and you said, okay, I know that God is blessing me in doing this. How's your worship in that? I look across the room today and I believe this with all my heart, that we have Christians in all those different stages. Some that are settled and you're praising God and you know you're right where you ought to be at. You build an altar there because there are some that are still a little way off that are struggling and they need to know this, that God's promises are real. Because they may not be seeing them right now. They may be blinded to some of those things. They may be so hurt and they may be under so much pressure and so much stress that they can't see those. But they can see God working in your life. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian, whenever you and I live for God, give others hope. Don't quit. Don't give up. Simply trust God. God will renew His promise to you if you'll let Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed today.